Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show. Episode 683. I am Chris, as Chris always.
Having a Biden moment.
As always, joined by Tony.
I think we're going to have to stop doing the podcast because it takes place after 8 p.m.
I'm cold, guys. I'm cold. Earl is here as well.
It's the jet lag from your trip 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say that, I heard the rumors, but yes, I am also calling for Chris to step down as the host of the show. I think it's time for a younger, hipper host to come in his face.
All right. Well, it's been fun, guys. It's been a ride.
I'm not recording this thing. Hell no.
Yeah, it's been a week, man. a lot of the problem is that, like, we are now a headline culture. People don't read articles, they just read the headlines. So you don't read, like, not that we're not doing that, but, like, a lot of people don't read the meat of articles. So, like, was it John Clyburn was out there, and one of his comments was that, like, you know, hey, if Harris is running, I will support her. But, like, what he went before that, like, the whole quote is, you know, I am fully behind this team. If Biden is running, I'm with Biden. If Biden's running with Harris, I'm with Biden. If Biden pulls out and Harris is running, I'm with Harris. Like, and all that is, like, Clyburn says, he supports Harris. It's like, if you don't read the article, like, you don't get the full context of that's not what he meant, but it adds to the narrative of everybody is saying that he should back out. And I think we all, you know, I think we said it was a terrible performance, and and there should definitely be discussions, but, like, how do you solve that, right? Like, who do you put in as the nominee?
So the last time that the Democrats had this issue was with LBJ in 1968. And, like, he ended up not running. They said it was because of the Vietnam War, but he was actually having, like, severe health issues. In fact, mm-hmm. he died shortly after, like, within a couple of years, he died shortly after not running.
Okay.
But since it happened so late in the cycle, and it would be equally late for Biden, like, they didn't have a chance against Nixon. Like, there was no opportunity to overtake. Like, he already had all the name recognition and was like, his everything was out in the field already. It's really, really hard to come back at this point. Which is why a lot of people are saying, like, it's Harris or nobody. Like, who else? Like, you would be even Harris, though, is not a well-known figure, and the things that she is well-known for is kind of being goofy.
But yes,
which is not what you want out of a presidential candidate.
But they were saying because you can still run on the same record of what you've done and accomplished.
Yeah,
especially being that because she's the VP of a very divided Senate, that he's also been there for some moments as well. So it's not necessarily, you know, like, some VPs are just kind of ceremonial, but.
Yeah.
At the very least, I voted for Biden knowing that Harris was going to be, like, when I voted in my primary, not that there was a choice, right? There was no, I don't think there was anybody running against him in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
But I voted for Biden knowing that Harris was his running mate. Like, if you throw, like, Gavin Newsom in there, I didn't vote for Newsom. I would probably still support him, but I could see a lot of people being like, I did not support. I don't know who Gavin Newsom is.
The problem really becomes, it becomes a redux of 2016, 2020 on an extreme map where it's like, the entity, the organization is putting their person. You know, like, that was very much a Hillary and Biden were anointed. And it's like, that literally would be anointing somebody.
Absolutely.
And there's no way to. Yeah, because, I mean, outside of that, everybody's like, oh, it should be Newsom. It should be Whitmore. It should be this person and that person. And it's, Yeah, so you, so none of you have a candidate.
Yeah.
Though they also run into the problem, people have noted, and I thought so too. It's like, if Biden does step down and it's like, you know, I'm doing this for X, Y, like, what does that mean for his presidency? Like, is it dead? Like, oh, you're not healthy enough to run. Should you still be running the country for the next 5 months or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, that's a valid question, right? I think a valid question after what the performance that he put on television.
Right.
Now, to be fair to him, he seemed perfectly fine and invigorated the very next day.
Oh.
I mean, he has since then made some other stumbles publicly, but and I that's feel like always kind of been him.
Yeah, I feel like that's the thing. It's like, it's not even that, you know, his age is his age, whatever. But taking that aside, it's also a man who suffers from a stutter. It's yeah. not, no, it's
like
not
his entire life.
Yeah. yeah. So people don't understand that, like, there is an element of making sure you are trying to, like, think, speak, and kind of not stumble over. And that creates an element of stress as well. And again, not saying, you know, but I understand it's the highest office in the land, but it's this thing. It's such a fascinating thing because with the previous guy literally had brain worms. And it was just like, yeah, we went along with whatever he said. It's like, yeah, we make Kofofi a thing just because. But this one is like, oh, now that he stumbles or he doesn't speak arrogantly or he pauses for like a second, we need to. It's one of those things where just because you speak best and you speak it out, it's the time when you speak truth. There's a lot of people who can yeah. shout what they want to say. That does not mean what they're saying is true.
Well, and or coherent, right? Like yeah. Trump sometimes just like babbles shit, but because he says it loudly and forcefully, and you know, in contrast to how Biden appeared at the debate, where he was seemed feeble and you know very mild mannered and not even mild mannered, like weak, you know, in some of his delivery, like. It doesn't mean that Trump was right on anything that he said.
No, in fact, a lot of the articles about the debates were like, Biden stumbles in his performance while Trump lied. And that was like how the article split off.
Yeah.
but you know, you kind of expect Trump to lie at this point. Like,
and that's kind the thing. I feel like it should not be like, you know, it's just who he is. And I'm not, that yeah. means about you. It's just like, because, yeah, I mean, it's the same thing. Like, again, historically, a bad debate performance is getting a lot more coverage than a guy who is still charged with 34 felonies. A guy who apparently is immune to anything he did in office because the court says.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's not, like, I understand why people are upset about this. I'm not quite sure that they're correct.
I understand there's an element of you have to give the president a certain yeah. act, but like the fact that like then the court can like the court deciding that like him calling you know AGs or state representatives to try to find that is not an official duty. The president does not have any say in the actual correct. Process of an election. That is not an official duty. So yes. for them to be like, oh, no, it's an official, it's not.
When that was that ruling, right? They sent it back to the lower courts mm-hmm. to determine what is, and ultimately, like, that's just to kick it down the road so that eventually it ends up back there and the Supreme Court can then decide that all acts that, if the president says they are official. But right now, that's not the ruling. I think there's I think scarier shit happened the week before with basically with Chevron like eliminating all the expertise that the government has, saying that judges can abide by, you know, judges are the ones that decide how to interpret. The law that the experts, it was set up for the experts to do. That's bananas. Homelessness being criminalized, basically, like that you can just hold that shit on. They kicked the can with the Idaho abortion ruling. That's going to end up back on their desk in, you know, 6 months, 7 months, where they very likely could decide the other way. Like, I don't know. The court's crazy, and it's wild that, like, we know about it, but it's,
you know,
it's the debate. It's, oh, like, Democrats met with Biden to discuss his future.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
there's other shit that is maybe more important than the Democrats being a fucking shit show, because they've always been a shit show.
Right. Like, this is where, like, I was making this point in our private chat, is that, like, Biden needs to, like, step up over all of that and just start acting. Like, I hate to say be more like Trump, but, like, Trump wouldn't care if an act he was doing was constitutional or not. If he wanted to do it, he would do it. And Biden needs to look at some of these situations and say, they are wrong. People elected me to behave in a certain way. I need to support those rights. So, like, maybe the court's going off the rails. He starts appointing new justices. Like, it's the job of the president to direct the court. And, like, he's kind of just sat back, and every time one of these rulings comes out, he's like, it's a really sad day. I wish somebody would do something about this. And, like
you're the dude.
You're the guy who's sitting there. You could do things. Now, maybe the court rules what you do is wrong. Okay, let's have the discussion. Let's have the debate. Act. And it's that's the thing that drives me nuts more than anything. Like, right, he's acting like a victim. You're in charge.
And he has done things like against, you know, against the, like, oh, Congress won't do the student loan debt thing. So he found a way to do it. The first one was challenged and broke down, but he found another way to do it. Like, find a way to do it with executive orders to protect us. Because Congress is fucked. Like,
yeah,
the House is a nightmare. They have no intention of doing their job. So, it's going to be a long 4 months. I'm not looking forward to it. How'd you guys enjoy your 4th of July? Did you guys do anything?
Don't everybody talk at once. Wow.
Earl, did you go do anything for 4th of July?
Earl is dead.
Oh, no.
Rest in peace. I mean, I was at home for most of it. My son has been undergoing cancer treatment, so he's been home. And this is actually our week off of chemo, so we're just kind of like hanging out.
Playing some games and stuff.
We played so many games. I think I spent the entire day playing games.
So. Good. That's kind of what I did as well. So, Earl, have you rejoined us?
Yes. What's up? What did I miss? Sorry, I went to get some.
No worries. No, did you do anything for 4th of July?
So yesterday, the 3rd, off. I mean, not off, but, after work, we went out for some drinks. We were supposed to have trivia. Trivia was canceled. We found out after. So we went to a nice brewery out of their beers. Were fruit-based, which is interesting. They had a really decent raspberry M&A lager, which is good.
Oh.
Then today, as tradition, I watched Jaws this morning.
Okay.
And a friend had a barbecue, which is where I just came from. And then depending on, I do work tomorrow, but depending on when this wraps up, I'm sipping on my white wine right now. I've had hamburgers, so I can throw them. So that's white, that's red meat, and then I can throw them a Fury copy of Independence Day and still get my theme going. yeah.
All right. Well, seems like we all had Well, Earl had way more of a day than I guess your me, Tony.
That's right.
Since I also just kind of like sat around and played games, so Most of my family has gone to Virginia Beach, so it's just me and my oldest here. As I had to work yesterday, and she has to work this weekend. So, but I guess speaking of games, what I finished today was I hit credits on Dragon's Dogma 2.
Ooh.
I had to not fire. I had to like send your pawn away though, Tony, as well as Jeff.
Well, the levels were too low, right?
Yeah, so it was starting to like where, you know, just regular mobs, like your pawn was getting either like she was dying and I had to revive her, or she was like losing like a lot of health in just like regular fights. And then there's a third area that you go to basically like the right before the end. There's only a couple two quests there, I guess. Like there's two main quests are on that island, and all the enemies are like they hit hard, so like had to hire some new pawns. And at the same time I was like, I guess like it's time to get rid of Jeff's pawn as well, even though I beat the game at level 47, so only three levels higher than where Jeff's pawn was at. I brought in same classes as yours and Jeff's, but just higher level.
Pawns. And that's kind of what kills it, right? It's like I can hire a pawn that's way above Jeff's level, even if his pawn is over my level anyway.
And if you've been exploring, like you have the currency, because like if you're even just like one level higher than you is like 30 of that currency, and then it like gets higher and higher. So it was like cost me like 1,000 each, but I had 5 or 6,000 of that.
You're like at the end of the game, you're like, well, I can't take it with me.
Yeah, it's like, well, what's the point? Like, because you get it for, you know, finding rift stones or the portals or whatever. And like sometimes you'll just find it in chests. So like I had like 6,000 of that currency, and I was like, I'm just gonna buy myself some level 55 pawns that are a couple levels higher than me. Because go any higher than that, it started to be like, oh, you need 10,000 of this. It's like that seems excessive. I did miss your pawn, like would craft shit.
Yeah. Yeah, like that.
Yeah, that was like
neat, oh, this stuff is going bad instead of it just rotting. You like something out of it.
All of a sudden I have like poison potions and health potions, and like, you know, just mixes everything together, and I have like a bunch of curatives, and I didn't have that cuz I could not find it was weird. Like I would have thought that I think it's like tactician or something, or but that pawn, like that specialization,
I think it's logistician.
Logistician, yeah.
Yeah.
I couldn't find another pawn with that.
It shocks me because, like, I saw it and I'm like, I want that. Because, like, you just give her stuff and she makes things and you don't have to worry about. Because your pawn is also like your mule.
Yes.
So, like, she's carrying all my stuff, and instead of, like, literally, like, if I'm carrying meat, it starts rotting if I forget about it. Like, she makes a potion with it instead. It just makes so much sense. I don't know why everybody doesn't do that.
Yeah, or she'll, like, because you can dry your meat, like, so that it won't go bad. Like, so she would do that. Like, yeah, it's, and I did something. Like, we talked about it last week. I went to the Elven City, and they're all the way off in their own, like, and if you go there, everything shows up in Elvish. They speak in Elvish. You can't understand it. But I found a way to get that as like the specialization, because that seemed neat. And also I had your pawn to like make shit. So it was like working out perfect for me. And like my pawn didn't need it. Then in the end though, when I had to send your pawn away, it was like, I really wish I had that. But I also do have the 65 health potions that she crafted me over that time. And I needed that. I needed all my wake stones I had put together. I needed a bunch of all heals. The all heals are nice because if you die, so if your pawn dies and you revive them, like their health bar gets smaller. To the point where I think if they die and like they're at like the last sliver of health bar, they could actually die until you revive them at a stone. So I ended up having to give the pawns I had, because they were in the final boss, their health was getting really low because they had died multiple times and I'd revived them. I had to give them these all heals, which actually replenishes that whole bar.
Ooh.
But like, you don't have a lot of them because they're very valuable. So like, I burned through all of them. I burned through half of my wake stones. I think I had 7 of them. I now have 3 left. The final boss is a pain in the ass. Like, it's a dragon. They're tough when you come across them in the regular world. This one was very hard. It probably took like an hour to finish. It's kind of like a boring fight. Like, that's, I don't know. That's one of the things I thought playing this is, like, these bigger enemies, they're neat and they take a while, kind of like Monster Hunter, but you end up fighting like the same Cyclops over and over again. And the Cyclopses are easy. They go down really quickly as you level up, but the dragons, they never seem to get any weaker. So fighting a dragon is kind of a pain in the ass. And there's one that you fight earlier in the game. You need to get some of these worm crystals for a main quest. And that one has like these pustules on it. And you can shoot them and that injures it more. And like, those will come back over time, like kind of like a classic 3D, you know, boss, like where, hey, there's weak spots. Right. This final dragon though does not have any weak spots, except every once in a while. Yeah. It's just like, you're just hacking a little bit away. Every once in a while, a weak spot will appear on its chest. It's like they call it its heart. And if it's only like when it's stunned and it's open for a little bit, and if you can attack that, you can do some major damage. But I think that happened 3 times during this fight. So, and it has 8 health bars. Cool. It's like just forever going on. It has attacks that can kill you in one hit. So like, I had to have my wake stones on me to revive me. So it was a pain, but I beat it. You sit on the throne at the end, like everybody's all happy, and that's the end. But if you start it over, you continue again, you can then extend to a whole new area. Basically, there's like an after game portion that where the true ending takes place.
The after party.
Yeah. So like, all the water that was in the world previously is all gone now. I don't know where it's gone, but it's all disappeared. And there's like 3 quests there you have to do, but they are, once you start the main one, it's timed. So you have 4 days to do, you have to go to all the cities and help evacuate everybody. I don't know if you guys know, walking in that game is, it takes a long time to get anywhere. It can take half a day to get from like the Vermin, which is the main town, to like Harv or, Melv, which are the ones north and then south. And then if you want to get to the second main town, Batal, like that can take a full 2 days of walking. So if you haven't set up port crystals or found them, I don't know. This just seems like it's a lot, and I don't want to participate in the timed bullshit. So yeah, I might be done with it.
Yeah. Like the things you've described to me sound like things I don't want to do. So I may not go back to the game.
Yeah, there's like if you kind of like continue on the main quest, there's this really cool thing where this giant stone golem thing comes out of the ocean and starts walking towards the volcanic island, and you have to, it has weak spots on it, and you have to take out all the weak spots. Like, that's a cool fight. Like, that's like right towards the end. So there is some like fun stuff in there, but And I think the game is good overall, but it's I think I might be done with it. There's some easy achievements I can go back and circle in on, and I might do those, but that's it. So yeah, Dragon's Dogma 2. Feel free though to hire my pawn out. She's a level 47 mage.
Oh, that might be useful.
Yeah, found you definitely want a mage in your party because they can throw up that healing spell that you can just run through. So they're I was like, oh, I'll get a sorcerer. That sounds stronger than a mage. No, they don't. They have no healing spell. What did you play this 4th of July, Tony?
So in honor of the patriotic holiday, I was going to play Ultimate General American Revolution, but I started playing Orcs Must Die 3 this morning, and that was all I played all day long. So very, very patriotic, you know, defending the rift from the orcs.
Is that still like a tower defense type thing? Like...
It is. I think I played the original. I had a review copy like way back in the day. But yes, it's the same principle. So you're like a sorcerer apprentice type person, and it puts you on the field to like put up all these defenses and then launches massive number of orcs at you. A lot of it is very, very similar to the original game, where you're like you're putting up traps and they just, you know, step on spikes and spikes appear, things that shoot arrows out of the wall. Like a lot of the traps are the same. It's just like updated for, I think the game came out 2 years ago or something. The biggest difference I've known is that there's now war scenarios. So like in the original game, you're like in like a castle and like it sends a horde of orcs at you. And how many is in a horde? Like 30. In the war scenario, the defenses you're deploying are like battalions of archers and like massive platforms and like catapults. And it's throwing like hundreds of orcs at you, and you're like defending a castle.
That's neat.
Yeah, so like it takes the concept but like brings the scale way, way up. But you're still just like your one basic dude defending it in this battle, which is now way, way huger than it ever was before. I like the war scenarios. They're super cool. Like, there's a ton of stuff going on. Like, your dozens of archers are, like, shooting arrows all over the place. Since you're on the field, you can actually sit in the catapult and, like, lob giant explosive projectiles at these hordes of orcs as they're approaching. It's really, really cool.
So when you do that, does it give you like an overhead view of like how it's, or you're just still looking at it from the third person, kind of like from the catapult
view? It's from the catapult's point of view, and it gives you like the arc of what it's supposed to be for the projectile. So you're like aiming it at these like massive piles of orcs off in the distance. It's my favorite part of the game to have those like massive, massive fights. And then they get really like in your face and like mano a mano because you're on the field, and like once they break through those defenses and get to like the end and you're like fighting at the rift point, and then it's like back to that one-on-one or like one versus a small number of whoever got through type battles. It's a nice contrast.
Nice to see this. That Orcs Must Die 3 started as a Stadia exclusive, so it's nice to see that it escaped off of there.
Yes. On Game Pass.
On Game Pass, too. Nice.
It is on Game Pass, so give it a run. It's super fun.
Nice.
And was that intended to rhyme?
No.
Earl, do you...
Past 8 o'clock, Earl.
did you get to play anything this week?
I mean, I've continued on with Paper Mario. I don't know what new to say. I did, not a new game, but I don't know. I got home Saturday or Sunday this week. I'm like, you know what? I've not done it in a long time. Ring Fit Adventures.
Okay. And
I'm so ashamed of how much that game kicks my ass.
Well, it's meant to, right? It's a workout game, so it's supposed to do that, right?
Yeah, but you don't think it actually does it. And then I'm like fighting some enemies after the battle on my couch, dying and sweating, and like I need some water. But
and you open up the next day and you're sore in all those areas. You're like, oh, I can't fight those guys anymore.
Yeah, yeah. And it's one of those things where I get it, but I think early on, it very much gives you, what am I trying to say? It very much gives you the, like, it's very, like, a lot of them are arm exercises, for example. So a lot of it is, like, arms. And then, like, some of them are squats and stuff. But, like, it takes a while for you to actually start unlocking a bunch of different exercises. Because, yeah, I should not throw this sword the next day. And I think one of the big parts of it is really that you end up doing, because, like, you run, like, squatting. You can also run, but I live in an apartment building. I don't want to make my neighbors hate me.
Yeah, makes sense.
So a lot of it is the squatting, which is you're just doing that and like running, and I forget because you're also like trying to do stuff while you're doing that. There's a lot of different things. It's just really funny to see how it all comes together. But yeah, I does a good job of making exercise fun. And I think one of the big things, and it's always hard to forget, is the game does a really good job of offering positive feedback. Like it's not, oh, you need to do better. It's like, oh, you know, like improve your form, try this. Oh, fantastic, great.
That's good.
And then I think part of it for me is really for somebody who's not necessarily a big exerciser, it's like learning how to do, like it's learning proper form and stuff like that, which is really helpful. But yeah, again, it's a really solid game. I really, 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 really wish they would make a digital version of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the reasons I dropped it was, oh, it has to be in my cartridge. It has to be in my cartridge slot. And it's not usually the game I'm like, oh, I need to play this on the go or something like that. Like, I mean, to be fair, I also don't buy a ton of games. So like when I was, I think the game that was in there when I was Metroid Dread, just to kind of give you an idea of how long it's been.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It's not that I'm not, but most of the games I buy are digital in nature. I'm like, yeah, I kept on saying, I'm like, Dread, that can't be right. Nope, it was Dread. So, yeah, I am looking forward to, continuing on with it and seeing what it has to offer and actually getting farther in the game. And have I complained about the season of Fortnite yet on this show?
No.
They went very crazy on like the vehicle combat. And it just does not make the meta game fun. But they did introduce, and I guess this is the, they introduced something called Fortnite Reloaded.
Yep.
Which is a very condensed version of like original maps. Again, it was, a lot of it was before my time. So I have friends like, oh man, I can't believe X, Y, and Z's back. Like Tilted Towers is always a big one. And stuff like that. So this is, instead of 100 phase, this is 40 phase, I believe. And you have, I think you can do like three, it's not a storm, there you go. You can do three or four storm circles before, where like, it's kind of like, not respawn, what is the Apex Predator, Apex Legends, where like, you will respawn on a 2-minute countdown. like every 2 minutes or whatever, people will come back, or you know, everyone. It's like if one person remains on your team, everybody can come back, and they'll start with like a, you know, a one weapon, but they can come back. And then at some point, it's just like, okay, this is it. No more comebacks. Everybody does it. So, it, you know, it makes it fast and short. The map's much more condensed. So a lot of it, you end up getting into battles right away. Anyhow, you also want to find that you want to make sure you kind of kill everybody on the team, because if everybody's gone, that's four people gone. There's no coming back. There's no, like, respawn. Like, you know, like, sometimes I do that. When I was talking to a friend yesterday. I play Fortnite very defensively. My motto is, and then not just Fortnite, any battle royale, my motto is you can't win it early, but you can damn sure lose it early. So it does not make any sense for me to get into a fight at 100 people. But at 10 people, sure. Then it's an opportunity for me. So I'm very much one of those people who, if my team's down, I will hide in a bush for 2 minutes until you get back here. And we've done that. But yeah, it's a fun, different type of mode. It has its own little, not battle pass, but quest sign and stuff like that. So it's nice to kind of get in, do something slightly different, and kind of get away from the vehicles for a little bit.
Nice. So that's about it for what we've been playing. The Steam sale is going on. The Steam Summer Sale. I assume that there will probably be a PlayStation and Xbox sale as well. But Tony, have you gotten anything from the...
Gosh, I've gotten a bunch of things.
The Steam Sale.
Can't help myself. I picked up... I have yet to play through... I think I played maybe 20 minutes of Kingdom Come Deliverance on Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw like the complete edition was on Steam for like $8. So
that's pretty good.
Yeah, I picked that up. I got, let me look at my Steam account here. I picked up a strategy game, like this strategy RPG called Songs of Conquest.
Okay.
Which I haven't played yet. But the one game I bought that I did played a ton of since I got it was a Reus 2, which is a really cool god game.
Mm-hmm.
I played the original, came out like I want to say 2013.
Yeah, it's been around a while.
And that game was, it wasn't much of a game. It was more like of a cool concept.
Mm-hmm.
It was super short and like. You could play through it really, like, I think I finished the game in like 4 hours, and was done with it forever. But they brought it back, and the basic concept is, you're God, and you bring these, like, three spiritual giants along with you, to, like, create a planet, each one of these giants represents like a biome. So like one of them might be a forest or mm-hmm. one might be ocean. And there's like a taiga and like a savanna one and a desert one. Like, so you pick the three that you want and you create this planet and humans inhabit the planet and you like solve problems for them. And that causes interesting things to happen on the planet. So for instance, if you do all of the right things, maybe your people will stage a revolution and they'll topple their tyrannical leader and you'll see them like execute him on the screen. Maybe you'll do the space race and you can like send monkeys to space, but if you do it really well, you can like have a like city formed on the moon. And it's like the game is so, it's like it's not that complicated. Like you're just like you're forming these biomes and you're just sticking stuff there, and then the humans have their little cities and they'll go out and they'll colonize these little things and they'll like use them to like make food or make science or make gold. Those are the three resources the humans have, And as they do that stuff, they do stuff with it. And it's just kind of cool to watch them. It's like, it's an element of like puzzle solving and an element of like, just interestingly watching like what the humans do. Like, what did they invent? Like every time a city gets X number of science, they invent a new thing. And then it could be, I don't know, like a new medicine that makes people better. Or it could be something stupid, like a monkey mask. And then you look and you see all the people walking around wearing monkey masks. And then maybe this town exports the monkey masks to another town. And you look over and now all those people are wearing monkey masks too. And all your people just look like monkeys and they all look really ridiculous. It's highly, highly amusing. The game actually came out in May. I'm not really sure why it's in the Steam sale, but it's like 20% off. Since I was like, yeah, it's cheap, I'll get it.
Yeah. I have not gotten a whole lot. I picked up a Tetris Effect to play on the Steam Deck, but we've talked a ton about that. And I picked up Lumines Remastered on it as well, but nothing. Oh, and I got a Batman Arkham Knight, the whatever the super version is, because that was like $5 to just have.
There's a bunch of like really random, like really awesome AAA games.
Yeah,
that are like 90% off. Really, like, I think that Witcher 3 is like $6 right now.
Yeah, it's you know, we had the Witcher 3 for $6, that sounds crazy, but like when you think it's been out for a while now, like,
yeah, it's been out a long time.
Yeah, you know, that game's almost 10 years old. It doesn't seem like it. Like, it, you know, if you were to go back and play it, I think it would still be a very good RPG, but yeah, that game is almost 10 years old now. So, you can get, all three. Let's see, looks like you can buy the Witcher trilogy for $3.59.
Oh my God.
I think that might be right. So yeah, it's 91% off.
Like, God.
That's insane. Just, you can get all of those games. So lots of good stuff. I'm assuming that
Civ 6 is the same. If you're looking to get into Civ now, is a good time.
Oh, Civ is also.
But the new one's coming out so soon.
The new one is coming out till next year.
So soon.
Is Civ 6 the latest one?
Yes.
The last one that, yeah, that's yeah. Crazy that game is. That game is 8 years old now.
That game is old. Yeah, it's been, but they, I mean, there were season passes and there were so many expansions, and I don't know. The other thing about, like, I have a hard time getting excited about Civ 7 because every Civ after Civ 3 was the last one that actually came out, was a complete game at launch and didn't need an expansion to make it like what it should be.
Add all the extra stuff in that you want.
And... Yeah. Yeah. So like, it's great that there's a new Civ game coming out. I look forward to the year after next year when the expansion comes out that brings in all the stuff that should have been in the original game. I say all this like I'm not going to buy it on launch day. But.
Yeah, so the Civ 6 Anthology Bundle, which is 19 items. So it's the game and then 18 DLC packs. Steam's running that $24.15. But the normal price of that is $209.85.
Yeah.
And the problem with the Steam sale, and this has been the problem for years, is that if you have a wish list, like, shit pops up on there. You're like, oh, I want to get that. I want to get that. I want to get that. And yep. Then you buy like 15 things in one of these sales and you play maybe one of them. So
yeah,
trying to be a little more discerning, but
yeah, like I'm trying to keep myself like 3 or 4, like I might already be at the limit. 'Cause there are like, I mean, the benefit that this Steam sale has that a lot of them don't have is there's no games out right now. Like, it's been a while since there's been, like, a game that I was interested in playing that came out. So it's nice to have, like, all these games that I may have skipped.
Yeah.
Super cheap. But give it a few months and I won't feel like that anymore, so.
Yeah, so that's the Steam sale. We are halfway through the year. I guess it's a good time, Denny, to look back. Like, well, halfway through, if you guys were to be like, what's like your game of the year? If we were doing a game of the year right now, what would be your like top one or two slotted games?
My gut thought is Balator.
Balatro.
Balatro. One day I will learn how to pronounce it properly, but yes. that is my first instinct as far as like a game that came up this year.
Yeah. Same for me. Right at the top. Actually, Jeff just he was super proud. He finally beat the first deck. I still haven't done it, but he finally beat the first deck and sent me a screenshot of it.
It is a fantastic moment when you finally complete it, and it just feels so good.
I'll get there. It's like I've had like great runs up to like anti six, and then I just like something just goes off. Like you just end up with a bad boss blind.
Yeah, or, it happens.
Yeah,
that came on the Steam sale. I haven't played it yet.
It might be. It is relative. Like I think the general price of that game is relatively cheap.
Yeah. Like I should buy it anyway. It doesn't need to be on sale because it's so cheap.
Yeah, it's $13.50. It's only on sale for 10%. But
is it only like?
It's a $15 game.
Is it on Xbox?
Yeah, yeah.
I could play it and get achievements.
Yeah.
What are the achievements for it?
They are not. They're not. It's not a generous achievement game. It is. I think I don't have. I have a few, I guess. I have four. I've been playing it since, like, maybe a couple weeks after it came out. Yeah, so it's like reach ante 4, which is pretty easy. Score 10,000 chips in a hand, which is also pretty easy. And then it's like, then it starts getting like harder. Like reach ante 8, which is that's like reach the end of a run. But not, you don't have to win it. It's just the last ante. Win a run, play a royal flush, get a poker hand to level 10. So,
I've got a few of those.
Upgrade the ones.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then, like, discover every tarot card or every.
That was otherwise, I was like, yeah, every joker. I think I've done, like, more. I think I did maybe tarot cards and. This, I feel like there was celestial cards that you want to say. There's like 13 of those.
The planet cards, yeah.
Yeah, there's a few that I've done that. The jokers are hard because a lot of the jokers are, there's a ton of them. But some of them are, you need to discover this joker first. And once you discover this joker, then you can maybe get this joker later on in the run. But yeah, they sound doable.
Yeah, like some of them are just like, you just have to play. Like, just play a lot. Like, like what is it? Play at least 2,500 cards. Discard 2,500 cards. Like, it's just gonna take you a while to do that because playing 2,500 cards probably won't take you that long. But
I mean, it might. I mean, what, 5 cards per hand.
Yeah,
that is a lot of cards.
Yeah, I mean, but it's doable, like, because
it's
not a game.
The same thing with discarding.
Yeah.
I feel like I don't discard near as many.
Right. Especially if you get ones where it's like if you get, like, the Joker that lets you play all your cards. So, like, you might not discard it because you might play 5 cards, even if you only have 3 that would make a hand. Yeah, like it's there's stuff there, like 100% your collection. So like that's like it's just gonna take a while, but there are achievements. Yeah,
some of these are like break two grass cards in a single hand. Like that, like the odds have to be in your favor because what is it? It's 1 in 2 or 1 in 4 for them to break.
Yeah. Yes, that seems a little like to be really lucky. And then you'd have to have the 2 glass cards in your hand. Yeah. So.
This one to score 100 million chips in a single hand. That is. Yeah.
So I'm hearing I absolutely have to play this game. Is that what I'm
it's
hearing?
It's a set of fun, yes.
Yeah, I have a feel like I mean, we'll see how the next 6 months go, but there's a very strong possibility that this ends up high on my list, Earl's list, and Jeff's list.
Okay.
And you like poker. I mean, it's not...
I do. I love card games. Like, I'm not like... It's not out of my wheelhouse.
Yeah, it's not poker, but it's like you're playing with poker hands, so like you'll understand the basics of it, and then figuring out how to... It's like weird, because it's a roguelike, but... But not like
a road like,
yeah. It's, well, because like there's no persistence, so it's like playing poker, right? Like every time you sit down at a poker table, like you're starting a new thing. So that's basically what this is. Like you're at the poker table, you're trying to score more than the amount of each of the blinds, and each round has there's like a 2 small blinds and then the boss blind. Or is it a small blind, a big blind, and then the boss blind, Earl? Or is it?
Yeah, small, big, and then boss blind.
And then so basically, it's like the chip amount that you need to get to increases each one, and. You know, you're trying to get jokers that give you multipliers for playing certain hands. Like sometimes, like the best play is to play 2 pair, even if you have you have more than that. But if you built up, you know, your 2 pair planet card, and you have multipliers that give you bonuses on 2 pairs or pairs in general,
or playing SN3 cards, and
like cool things like that.
I'd also say, because this came up this week, and just as a friendly PSA, you can rearrange your jokers, and you should always rearrange your jokers if it benefits you. The jokers that give you multipliers should be at the very end of your deck. Because like it goes in order of where the jokers are. So like you want everything else to do it. And yes, you can rearrange the jokers. They don't have to be in order you buy them in.
Okay. Yeah, I could see how that would benefit.
I take it you do not do that.
No, I didn't even think of that. Like, I was just like, it's going to give me the multiplier of, you know, plus 15, and then that one's going to hit, it's going to be plus 20.
Yeah, but like the difference between like, oh, if I have a 1.5 multiplier, then plus 15 versus plus 15, then you're going from plus 15 to whatever to essentially going to like, what is that? That would be like plus 24. The multiplier would increase by, you know, whatever that factor of, what is that? Why can't I do math? That'd be 37.
Yeah. So like, yeah, you could increase your overall multiplier by adjusting how they play, and that probably would have helped me on a run from like a week ago where I was doing great, and I think I missed the amount that I needed by like just a few hundred chips on the last hand, and it's possible that if I had it set up that way, I would have overcome it.
Yeah, it's very important to always like to do the additions first, do the multipliers at the very end. Any of that like re-triggers it as well. Because you also get in like there's Joker cards, but then there's also like the fall Jokers, the negative Jokers, and I forget what the other one is. Is it not Polychrome?
Yep. Yeah. Basically the foil cards.
Yeah. Because one, like those are just like default traits to the card. Like the negative Joker is the negative Joker gives you an extra Joker slot. So if you have like a hand of five negative Jokers, that means you can then have five additional Jokers. I forget which is which. One gives you, I think it's like an automatic like 1.5 multiplier for chips. One gives you a 1.5 multiplier for your multiplier. And again, you kind of want those in the back end because like when it does it in order of operation. So you want them, the ones that give you the multipliers to be at the end usually. Like there might be reasons you don't, but like it makes sense that the higher the number when it finally does multiply, the better for you.
I will keep that in mind next time I play. But yes, Tony, I think you might want to give this game a shot over the next 6 months or so.
All right. So I'm curious. We're saying that. What is Tony's?
Helldivers 2.
I so okay. still want to play that.
That game is so awesome. It's so fantastic. Like an actively managed co-op game where you fight robots and bugs. It's just so cool. Calling in like orbital strikes. Like it just so many cool emergent things happen while you're playing that game. It's just I've never played a co-op game that was better. Like you're like normally co-op games are fun because you're playing with your friends, and like it doesn't really matter what you're playing is fun. And this like just capitalizes on everything like the nth degree. It's so great.
And yeah, and you can, I think what it does really well is like you can be a support person, like you can be somebody that calls down stuff and you know calls down ammo or you know is able to support, as opposed to like you know everybody should be shooting at everything, but people that kill things can like kind of move to the front. It's like I am not as powerful as you, so I'm going to hang back a little bit and like maybe call in ammo or, you know, get health packs or something, like do stims, run behind you and stab you with needles.
Right. Or you can stab people with needles. You can like, if somebody's using a really powerful gun, you can load for them. Like, yeah. It's like, there's stuff you can do to contribute. And it's, I don't know. It's so much fun.
Yeah. It's a blast. I'm interested in seeing how that, Starship Troopers game, which
yeah,
very, very similar, just because of the bugs in Helldivers, too. But you know, Starship Troopers, co-op game, killing bugs as well. So I'm interested to see how that plays out.
It was funny because the guy who was it played Johnny Rico in the first game or in the movie, was talking about like Helldivers 2 and like, you know, I really would love to voice a character or whatever. And of course he's voicing characters in the you liar.
That's funny. Way to
let you do that.
Yeah. So it's been an interesting first start of the year. Two games I don't think any of us had on our
nope.
kind of radar coming into the year. And both blew up very big.
To be fair, my radar coming into the year was pretty empty.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I think our radar's a little bit bigger for a little bit wider for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
We know of some things that are coming that are way more exciting than what we were coming into earlier in the year.
I was looking back at the games that I played this year. I've only played one Xbox game. I've only played one console game. Everything else I've played has been on PC. Because that's where the actual games are releasing right now.
Yeah. I mean, like, stuff like Balatro is on everything. But yeah, they're not traditional console stuff, right?
Yeah, even Dragon's Dogma 2, which was the console game that I played, I could have played elsewhere. I just think it's better optimized on a console right now.
Yeah. That game. I wish that, like, there's no reason it doesn't, right? There should be cross-platform pawn usage.
Absolutely. Like, absolutely.
The fact that we could not use Sean's pawn in our games because you, me, and Jeff played that game on Xbox, and he played on PC. It's just ridiculous. And I think we all probably know people that played it on PlayStation.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
PC as well. So, like, it's just, it's silly. Like, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense because you're just bringing that character in. Like, they can be housed on a server somewhere. They are. They're just, like, that data is housed on a server and then populated in. I don't see why they would silo it, but... yeah, so... Balatro, Helldivers 2. Any other standouts for you guys this year?
I don't know if it's a standout, and I don't... We'll see how the rest of the year plays out. But I think right now Star Wars Hunters has an opportunity to be a dark horse and like maybe close to like 10 or 11. Mm-hmm. But I've been enjoying my time with that. What else has been out this year?
That one's a big surprise for me. Hunters, Earl. Like, I honestly thought, well, this game's going to be
it's mobile trash. Yeah.
It's really kind of fun. Like, I don't understand the Star Wars aesthetic of it. Like, it doesn't really make sense, but as a you know, free-to-play multiplayer shooter, it's fun.
Yeah, very simple, very quick. I'm here for it. I've played like 3 matches while we've been recording. It's nowhere near the best game ever, but in terms of like, yeah, I'm having fun with it. It's going to be in the contender for me, I think. Sorry, I'm just trying to do this.
I don't know about the rest of you guys. I keep like, when I get to December and present you guys my top 10, like I keep a running list all year long.
Yeah.
And number 2 on my list right now is Dragon's Dogma 2, which I really hope is not number 2 on my list when we get to the end of the year. That'll be really a really disappointing year. But like, it's been like, I would say the second best game that I played this year was Fallout 4.
And that game is a decade old.
Yes.
Yeah, it's the same thing. My favorite game of the year is Paper Mario, but I don't consider that because it was also my favorite game 20 years or one of my favorite games 20 years ago. So,
yeah.
Earl, with Paper Mario, we're talking about the Thousand Year Door.
Yeah.
Did they do anything like, you know, Super Mario RPG? Like they did some like remake stuff to it. They updated the artwork and stuff. Did they do remake stuff to this too? Or
I mean, they improve. It's more of a remaster. It's like improved graphics. Like they updated the music, stuff like that. But like for the most part, it's pretty much the same. Like as far as I can tell, the major new content is that. And then I think there's like 2 additional secret bosses at the end. But the actual game is still the game you would have played on the GameCube. That's my not a complaint, but like it's hard to be like, oh yeah, no, this is amazing. It's like, no, this is what I expected because it is what I played, and I really enjoyed it. I'm gonna hope to beat it this time. The thing last time I stopped near the end because I was just like, oh, this is so fun. I don't want to it to end, and it never ended. So
it's like if I don't beat it, the fun just remains in the pocket.
And that's what it did, and it continues to do. Yeah, I'm looking through the system. I'm like, that's not even like I'm trying to think if there's even like an indie game or something that like could have stood out. So the back half of the year is going to have to save me.
I mean, Reyes 2 will be on my list somewhere, I think. Maybe.
Nice.
I have been enjoying that. I haven't updated my list yet. But it's nice to be God. It is.
I currently have Dragon's Dogma 2 at number 6 on my list, and I don't think it will stay. I don't think it'll stay on my top 10. It's good. I don't think it sticks around. I have Prince of Persia: The Lost Crown currently as like my number 2.
That would be on my list if I actually stuck more time into. Like, I really enjoyed the demo, but I actually need to play the full game, which I do own. But that, I think, is a contender to be on my list from what I played at the demo. Granted, from what I understand of the demo also puts you in, not later in the game, it gives you a lot more tools than you start off with, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because you are still unlocking stuff. You're still getting traversal mechanics and stuff you would think are standard, like, all throughout the game. So if they set you up with some of that stuff, you probably felt way better about it, playing the demo. I think it grows into it because it's a Metroid type game, huge map, and you're meant to kind of traverse things and come back to areas later after you have new power ups. But there are a few mechanics that I think both Jeff and I agreed, like, they should have just been standard. All right. And I guess before we leave, I just want to shit on Silent Hill, the short message again. that is the worst game I played so far this year, and also the biggest disappointment, I think. Maybe not the biggest disappointment, because it kind of came out of nowhere. They were like, hey, here's this thing. So it's like hard to be disappointed over a free game that didn't know was coming. So, but it's the worst thing I played. Maybe Hellblade 2 would be most disappointing, but I don't know. Anyway, that's about it, I think, for us. Was a fun 4th of July for me and Tony. We just hung around, played games and stuff. Earl was out gallivanting, so.
I'm sorry. I will try to be in more. I should be around next. Yes, I have Friday, so I'll be fine next week.
But yeah. So, Earl, go and. You already had a hamburger, right? You're not making a hamburger at 11:30
at night. I'm not making a hamburger. I did bring back one, but I'm like, it's probably not hamburger time. So I got lunch for tomorrow.
All right. Well, go try to maybe find something else red. Maybe dig through and find some red Skittles or something.
Fruit snacks. Come on. Have a Pop-Tart. Strawberry Pop-Tart.
Ooh, that does sound good.
Yeah, strawberry Pop-Tart, or it maybe like it's hot. Maybe you got some push pops in your freezer.
I don't. I have ice cream. I have ice cream sandwiches. That's my default. Though I'm very curious, and this is just because this came up today. Are you folks team shaved ice or team Italian ice?
I'm not sure I have a preference.
So we call it water ice here.
Water ice is Italian ice, which is slightly different than shaved ice.
Yeah, so like that would be where I fall.
So you're on the Italian ice side. Yes, we were discussing this because one, it came up because because we were trying to figure out the difference between a snow cone and shaved ice. And technically speaking, shaved ice is the family, and snow cones is a subset of shaved ice.
So it's shaved ice, like where it's like the ice fragments that you then like pour like a syrup over.
Yes, where Italian ice is the ice is like it's frozen juice.
Yes, I am on team frozen juice.
Okay.
Tony?
I'm not sure I have a preference.
So you'd be like, yeah, I'll take a snow cone, like, or you know, whatever sure. They have. You'd be like, sure.
I have no idea. Yeah,
like I'm not gonna sit here and be like, oh man, I'm gonna eat either one.
Like,
but
I'm not really like, yeah. Like I don't like ice type stuff. Like, give me ice cream. Give me like gelato or like something.
The gelato, something good. Yes.
Yeah.
Sorbetto. Yeah. Maybe a sherbet. Would you be more inclined to have sherbet?
I mean, sherbet's fine.
Yeah, you would prefer the more standard milky ice cream. Got it. I understand. Earl, where do you fall on that?
I think I'm Italian ices. I think because that's what I kind of, like, I know what shaved ices are, and that actually that's where it came from. We were talking about what's in the carts. Like, I don't know if you had them in for the what am I trying to say? But like you know, the street vendors who walk around and they have the little carts and you can stop in it. I don't know how much it is now. It used to be like $1.50 and you'd go and they scoop out like usually get a rainbow, so you get like blue and red, and that was Italian ices. So that's what I'm accustomed to. Shaved ices are a bit more fancy and I do like them, but again, they're also a weird thing because it is like as it melts, it does kind of become watery.
Yeah.
Because for Italian ices, there's pretty fruit juice throughout. So it's always going to be very sweet and what you want. But again, I'm down for either one. I'm also in tone. So now remember. So it came up because we were talking about ice cream. And I said I enjoy ice cream, but I get spoiled. I prefer soft serve. And you can never buy soft serve in the stores.
No. It needs to come out of the machine.
Yes. So I prefer soft serve. And then it came up to, and they're like, oh, and then we were talking, because, you know, it's a bunch of different people from different backgrounds. And like, yeah, we always had ice cream trucks. Ice cream trucks were constant. Granted, I've not seen any in my neighborhood. I should work on, but you know, they were talking about like, how they didn't have it, like how they'd have to go to like McDonald's or like places to get soft serve, or somebody was from Memphis, I want to say, and at Memphis they said all they have a soft serve, and then it came into the little truck people that they drive who had the shaved ice and the Italian ices, and that is where my brain came from today.
I get it. That's wild that they only have soft serve in Memphis. Like, okay. It's interesting. Well, there we go. So, those of you listening, let us know your preference in the great, Italian ice and shaved ice war. Or do you just prefer ice cream like Tony?
Or again, if you want to call it a snow cone, because I think snow cones is the nomenclature most people are familiar with. Or you say snow cones, people know exactly what it is. I think shaved ice is a thing, but I feel like that is a very specific term.
Yeah, I think we here we would refer to it as a snow cone, and also most people in Philly would prefer to get water ice, so I don't think anybody would generally be like, give me a snow cone. We have a local chain of you guys probably have them too. I think they've expanded outside of the Philly area, but Rita's Water Ice.
Yes.
It's like that is like a local favorite here, so what most people would prefer to go to. But we also have like ice cream stands, and independent ice cream stands are huge here. Like, people love going to them, and everybody has their favorite. So,
as they should. Ice cream is good.
Yeah,
it's so good.
Sweet treats.
The problem now is I don't have room in my freezer for an ice cream, because I went to Target yesterday to get ice. I don't know why, but I went to Target yesterday or Tuesday to get ice cream. That I craving for a milkshake, and I was going to Alamo, but the milkshakes, they're like $10. This is just insane. It's ice cream and milk. I could do that at home. Like, I'm going to do it at home. But I didn't want to buy like a whole carton of ice cream because I'm not going to eat it all in a milkshake. But I don't have any place to store it. So, and then like, it was like $5 for the carton, but $4 for the pint. I'm like, that's just a ripoff.
Ice cream has gotten
insane.
Yeah. I can't, was it at Talenti? They do like gelato, and they come in like these little plastic containers. They used to be like $4 or something, and now they're like $6.50 at the grocery store. And they're small. It's like a pint of ice cream. It's like, It's absolutely ridiculous. Half gallons aren't even half gallons anymore. They shrunk them a little bit more. So, yeah, we could, I guess we could all blame Biden for that too, because what they
Sensation.
Do. Yeah. It's Biden did not make your ice cream more expensive or smaller, but
he did make it take a nap, but
yeah, that's possible. All right. Well, we'll be back next week. I don't know. Some stuff is coming out. I don't know if it's this week or if it's coming later. Jeff was telling me about Dungeons of Hinterberg. I think that comes out soon, and he was interested in that. So I'm not sure if that's out yet, but there's a bunch of new Game Pass stuff. What was that, Earl?
And what is that? But I guess that's the thing for waiting until Jeff is.
Yeah. It was in the Xbox showcase. Looks neat. Like it's kind of like a Zelda-ish type game, I think. Anyway, that will be a discussion for when Jeff plays that or we get a poke at it. We'll be back then. Earl, say goodnight.
For all you ladies and gentlemen out there, have a good night. And remember.
I was expecting the Independence Day speech. I really was.